Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is my pleasure to be here today and share with you our company's, this MTR Corporation's, experience in transit-oriented development in Hong Kong. Actually, we wish to discuss how these skyscrapers can be supported along our railway lines and our railway stations. My presentation will first introduce the integrated rail and property model, that is the transit-oriented development and its merits. And then I will show two case studies to illustrate how our TOD, that is transit-oriented developments, has transformed the city of Hong Kong over the past decades. First of all, the rail and property development model has been adopted by the MTR Corporation for more than 20 years. The rail and property model is very much a response to the urban context in Hong Kong. Hong Kong is a city of 426 square miles, with 43% of land being reserved as country park and areas statutory protected from any developments. And in addition, about one quarter of land is not developable. So we have 7 million people in Hong Kong, resulting in an effective population density of about 70,000 persons per square miles. On the slide, the 16,600 persons per square miles is shown. Actually, it is calculated with all these non-development area, those reserve area, undevelopable area included. So high density development in Hong Kong is therefore inevitable. Our urban form largely depends on how wise we use our airspace development rights. We believe that with innovative design, skyscrapers living can be very civilized and attractive to residents, and at the same time responding to scarce land resources. To begin with, let me give you a brief introduction of our company, MTR Corporation. Back in 1975, MTR Corporation was established as a wholly owned company of the then Hong Kong government for the main purpose of constructing and operating a mass transit railway, as MTR system. In the year of 2000, it became a public listed company with about 77% of shares owned by the government. As of June this year, MTR has a market capitalization of $17.7 billion. The Hong Kong government is still our majority shareholder, owning 77% shares. Yet we are a private commercial entity operating with prudent commercial principle. The Hong Kong government does not guarantee our debts. On our railway business, we move 3.4 million people trips per day, occupying some 40% market share in public transport of Hong Kong. Over the past 20 odd years, we have transformed into a company that not only builds and operates railways, but also designs and builds communities in the urban areas of Hong Kong with landmark property developments. Why is the railway and property development a critical model to the success of the railway system in Hong Kong? It is because the very nature of railway, which requires heavy upfront investment for infrastructure, on its own, it would not be a sustainable business. We also face competition from other kinds of public road transport, such as bus companies, that do not need to build or maintain roads. We, the railway company, need to build and maintain the rail tracks, rolling stocks and signaling systems, which require heavy financial input. Almost all railways in the world require some form of government support in construction and often in operations as well. In Hong Kong, we don't. We design, build and operate our MTR system, and yet it is one of the railway companies that make profits in the world. We have to borrow from international financiers, service our own debts, and government has never given us the guarantee, despite that it is our largest shareholder. How can we be successful? It is the result of the rail and property model. The essence of the rail and property business model lies on government granting the corporation development rights for land allocated above or located above or adjacent to railway stations. to help finance construction of new railway projects instead of injecting cash or providing direct subsidies. We have to pay full land premium, that is the land costs for the development rights, albeit assessed on greenfield site principle, that is assuming no presence of completed railways. We then pass it on to developers through public tenders, and they pay for all costs, including construction costs and finance costs, and build the developments on our behalf. MTRC has the total and final control in all vital decision-making throughout the process. Through this, we have succeeded in making profits over the years by a low-risk approach when structuring development deals. From government's perspective, there is no cost associated with the granting of development rights to us. The government instead obtains the full market value of the land, that is the land premium for each site. In the course of railway construction, and as soon as the railway is completed, the property value has increased, and in some cases by 100%. Both the developers and MTR are able to capture the profit through enhancement in value due to the presence of the railway. We derive our gain through either the sharing of cash profits with developers, or the sharing of assets in kind, or through upfront payments from developers. This slide explains how the government has gained over the years in numbers. Since 1995, when we started to build the airport railway, we have paid a land premium of about $9.9 billion in total for the grant of development rights from governments to us along two railway lines, that is, the airport railway line and the Zhang Guanou line. The company was public listed in June 2000 after the Hong Kong Special Administrative Region government sold 23% of its issued shared capital to private investors in an initial IPO. The IPO in year 2000 has also generated about $1.8 billion for the government. During the past 8 years, government has also gained about $560 million as cash dividends. The government holds ownership of 77% of the corporation share, which is about $13.6 billion of the company's market capitalization as of 30th June this year. Since 1995, Hong Kong government is able to orchestrate building over 28 miles of environmentally friendly railway through our corporation, and at the same time earn a proceed totaling $21.4 billion. This slide further gives you the introduction of the company. On 2nd December last year, the operations of MTR and Kowloon Canton Railway Corporation were merged to form one of the most efficient and far-reaching railway networks in Asia. In Hong Kong, now there is only one railway company in operation, and this is our company. After our merger with expanded network with route length of 131 miles, our average number of passengers on a weekday is about 3.4 million. Along the railway stations, we have over 60 property developments throughout the network, 42 of which are rail and property projects. This slide summarizes our property development experience since 1970s. Over the years, we have built huge volume of residential office, retail and hotel developments, providing homes, workplaces and entertainment venues for Hong Kong population. Our rich experience covers the whole property development cycle, from planning and design, property development, construction, through to property management. The rail and property development portfolio in terms of gross floor area over the years is 130 million square feet. 130 million square feet. Including residential apartments, providing housing for over 400,000 people. And I'll share with you the merits or the advantages of the integration of property with railway. The key to success of this model is that MTR, being a single agent, acts as a master developer responsible for the design and master planning of the development site. This is to ensure the best integration of property with railway. Our success largely hinges on our capability as a single master surrogate developer covering the whole property cycle. How are the two elements, railway and property, integrated together? We lead and coordinate the development process from the very first beginning, that is preparation of the development master layout plan and phasing, and right to the end, that is property management after completion. Throughout the development cycle, MTR's role includes resolving all interfaces with the railway, tendering of the land parcels, liaison between different developers and government authorities, and monitoring the quality of the developments. Even after the completion of projects, we usually retain the property management right of the premises. In Hong Kong, we now provide property management services to over 71,000 residential apartments and 8 million square feet of commercial properties. This is to ensure the continual upholding of best development standard. Our property management expertise will give feedback to the design and planning of developments at the outset of the development cycle. Here it shows how the property integrated with railway station. Here is the railway station. When our railway engineers design the railway stations, they also think of the vertical integration with the development right above the railway stations and horizontal integrations with shopping complex, in-town check-in facilities, public transport interchange, and as well as the stations. Proper integration with the railway not only maximizes the development potential and land value, but the profits generated from the developments would help fund the railway construction costs, make it a win-win situation for the MTR and developers. So when our railway engineers was building the railway station, they also sink foundations and substructures to support the loading of the developments above. This kind of integrated property development model supports successful skyscraper projects, such as the International Finance Center on Hong Kong Island, which is 88 story high, and the Kowloon Station development, including the 118 stories International Commercial Center. Over the years, we have created a win-win-win-win, that is four-win situation for the government, the Hong Kong society at large, developers, and the corporation through implementing this railway and property business model. The public has benefited from a world-class railway system and well-planned, high-quality communities along railway corridors. The public at large like living above the railway stations because of convenience and because of the quality of products we have produced over the years. The railway improves accessibility and enhances the railway value, which was then internalized by the railway company through property developments. As a result, the railway company, that is this MTR Corporation, and the property developers benefit. While the government's role is focused on macro policy formulation and the developers' role are more concerned on the micro side of the market and profit realization, MTR, acting as the middle agent, can resolve the conflicting objectives between the two parties and enhance collaboration of various stakeholders. In summary, the MTRC does not merely act as the middleman between government and developers. We play an important role in master planning, determining the best phasing arrangement and tender timing, and also monitors and coordinates site progress and quality after the joint venture partners are chosen. We are truly a bridge between the government and the developers. Now, I'm going to explain how our developments have transformed the city of Hong Kong. Because Hong Kong is a very densely populated city, our urban design solution is to build compact and high-rise developments along the railway line. In terms of urban form, the rail and property model calls for high density planning concentrated around the railway station. Because of convenience, land around station yields high value. Hence, higher density development represents a better utilization of land resources. We invariably design higher density development around the railway stations and lower density outside the stations. And the catchment radius is around roughly 1,500 feet from the station. Building skyscrapers development around station promotes sustainability. People can enjoy the environmentally friendly mode of mass transit by living close to the railway station, and at the same time, land could be freed up further away from railway station to form open and green space. This logical land density distribution presents solutions to compact city. Actually, in Hong Kong, for the last 10 years or so, we have almost zero growth in number of cars because people don't like bringing cars onto the road. Because the public transport in Hong Kong is so convenient that you don't need to bring cars onto the road. Here, I'm going to give you some examples of how we transform the city of Hong Kong. This is the first generation, that is between 1970s and 1980s. This one is the Telford Gardens. It used to be an industrial area, and after sea reclamations, we built a total of about 41 residential blocks above the depot, the depot means the stabling and maintenance yards of our trains. This estate is good enough to house about 6,000 apartments. The second generation is 1990s, the Tsing Yi Island. The Tsing Yi Island, this is used to be the Tsing Yi Island. The Tsing Yi Station is over there. It used to be an area for storage of dangerous industrial storage, which could only be reached by ferry. It has been extended drastically by sea reclamation. Now it is well connected by MTR and bridges. After the opening of the Tung Chung line, there's a railway line and airport express line that stops through Tsing Yi, we built a large housing complex. This is a large housing complex housing the 3,500 apartments, and directly above or above the four-story shopping center, which is called Maritime Square. The development has entirely transformed the district and has become the center of Tsing Yi community, quite different from what it used to be as an industrial area. It has become a study model for many government and academic visitors. It is a showcase for integrated railway development. Another example of the second generation's development is Tung Chung. Tung Chung is situated on the northwestern coast of Lantau Island, where the airport is located. Now, this is the map of Tung Chung in 1992. Tung Chung used to be a fishing village. And this is a map before the Norman Foster, the Chiap Kok Airport, was built. It used to be an island, and the government exploded the whole island and used the earth for sea reclamation. The Tung Chung was also the part of the sea reclamation, which is this one now. And the private developments involved by a company, including all these skyscrapers. The railway station, the Tung Chung railway station, is situated there. And as part of this airport core program, we built the railway infrastructures to serve the airport. At the same time, we collaborate with the government to plan, design, and build the Tongchung New Town, which is the Tongchung New Town here, which now houses about 77,000 people. With only 27 minutes away from Hong Kong Central Business District via MTR, Tongchung is now a residential and commercial hub, supporting the permanent and transient community associated with the airport. Here comes the third generation, it's the 21st century. LOHAS. LOHAS stands for Lifestyle of Health and Sustainability. LOHAS Park is a development that emphasizes much on the well-being of residents and environment. It was located in one of the challenging sites in Hong Kong. It was a landfill reclamation area in a remote rural setting. Upon completion, it would be a densely populated development with over 50 towers, each over 50 stories. Nonetheless, it is our vision and our expertise to transform it into one of the newest and most popular new town in Hong Kong. I'm going to give you more presentation on how this new development, new city is to be built. Actually, it is above the depot and the railway station. LOHAS Park is an environmentally friendly city, serviced by MTR from outside the city. MTR, this is the depot, and the railway stations will be around here. And the MTR will be brought from outside the city to this mini city, and internally we'll be using LPG, that is liquefied petroleum gas, as feeder bus between the apartments and the railway stations. Non-resident vehicles are not allowed to go inside the development. All car parks belongings to the apartment owners are located at basements along the periphery of this environmental friendly city. Therefore, there will be complete segregation of vehicular and pedestrian traffic within LOHAS Park. I'll now go into the details of the two case studies. One is the Hong Kong Station, and the other is the LOHAS Park. Hong Kong Station. Hong Kong Station development is located in the Central Business District of Hong Kong. This is the Central Business District, and this is the Kowloon. The IFC, the International Finance Center, is located here. The ICC is located here. This two area is connected by a Western Harbour Crossing, which is a road tunnel, as well as the rail tunnel. The site is used to be seashore, and after reclamation, it houses two railway stations here. One is the airport terminus, and the other is the Tongchung Line. They all housed underneath this site. And on top of it, we have the International Finance Center 2, this IFC 2, and this is IFC 1. Here is the Four Seasons Hotel, and in the podium, we have this 600,000 square feet shopping center. And the whole complex is connected by footbridges to ferry piers and the inland central business district. The Hong Kong Station development is a successful extension of CBD. It shows how railway development can significantly enhance land value with skillful master planning. While the traditional CBD is used to be clustered in the inland area of Central, which is somewhere around here, the completion of Hong Kong Station and associated developments have changed the entire urban landscape. Now the office rental of 2IC has out-competed the Grade A office rental in the traditional CBD by about 20% on average. Because of the excellent planning and the collaboration with joint venture partners, the rent of 2IC is one of the best evidence for the success of the projects. we began leasing the two IFC in year 2003. At that time, there was about $5 per square foot. But at that time, we faced a very tough situation. Is in year 2003, we faced the SARS disease. At that time, it was just, well, we faced the disaster of rental in Hong Kong. But now after 5 years, the rental has now reached to $21 US dollars per square foot. And it is now the most prestigious Grade A office in Hong Kong. The building of IFC project at a location that is an extension of the CBD is a bold move. It is inspired by the relocation of Financial District in New York from Wall Street to Battery Park, and in London from Westminster to Canary Wharf. The replanning of Central in Hong Kong proved to be extremely successful. The two skyscrapers, IFC 1 and 2, now house most prestigious financial institutions, including the Hong Kong Monetary Authority, that is the Federal Reserve equivalent in states, and major banks. 2IFC is now the tallest building in Hong Kong, third tallest in the Greater China region, and sixth tallest office building in the world. And on this slide, you see the 2IFC here, 1IFC there, and Four Seasons Hotel, and then you have the shopping mall here, IFC Mall. You have the Yintang check-in and the subway station all underneath this development, and all these integrated functions just fall within a relatively small site area of about 600,000 square feet. It is the result of the corporation as an agent and overall coordinator responsible for the overall planning, design, construction, and management in conjunction with our joint venture partner. Together, 2IFC above Hong Kong Station and ICC above Kowloon Station. This is IFC above the Hong Kong Station, and ICC is above the Kowloon Station. Kowloon Station is also located underneath this development. This is a gigantic development, now having about 10 million square feet of residential, commercial, and shopping centers as part of the development complex. These two symbolize the gateway of the Victoria Harbour. Another case I'd like to share with you is our latest new town development, Lohas Park. As I just mentioned, Lohas stands for Lifestyle of Health and Sustainability. It's a new global movement with the balance in heart. The balance between premier living and sustainability is the union of modern, sophisticated luxury and healthy living amid inspiring environment. The Lohas Park is our third generation of property development. It is a new town above a railway depot and station, which would eventually accommodate 58,000 residents. The red portion here depicts the station, while the red dashed line delineates the location of the depot. The depot will be camouflaged by landscaping. You wouldn't see the depot, and any noise pollutions will be segregated from all these developments. Lohas Park has a site area of about 3.7 million square feet and will eventually accommodate 50 residential towers, each above with each more than 50 stories. It will present the high-rise and high-density residential living style. Nonetheless, the design allows ample spatial experience with towers well spaced out, good ventilation supported by scientific assessments at the planning stage, overlooking to the sea. This is here, this part is the sea. and managed with environmentally friendly measures. 3 out of the 14 phases of developments have been tendered out and are now under construction. The first phase, called the Capital, was sold early this year with very positive response. The concept for Lohas Park is that it would be an environmental friendly city from planning, design, construction and the eventual daily habits of the residents. It would be a place with no cars to compete with pedestrians. All traffic, including the railway, public transport, private vehicles, would be circulated within the podium. They're all within the podium. And the inhabitants there would enjoy the ample open space on the landscape deck that is above here, through grade separation. Lohas Park has been designed to let air flow naturally over its wide open landscape. Besides the green space mentioned in the slide, tower arrangements has also been carefully considered, allowing a wide urban window within the development to ensure good air ventilation. Every detail has been planned to reduce the effect of vehicle emissions within the park. We will run the LPG shuttle bus services between MTR station and apartment blocks. This will be the only means of vehicular traffic within the development. Circulation system for stormwater and sewerage water has been planned for in the design stage. The system will recycle storm and grey water for irrigation of landscape garden and for road cleaning. Conclusion: even today, many municipal governments and railway companies from all over the world, including Europe, Middle East and mainland China, come to visit and study our business model because they are genuinely impressed with the efficiency and effectiveness we have used the scarce land resources. Our contribution has transformed the urban landscape and, most importantly, the mode of living for Hong Kong citizens. This ends my presentation today. Thank you for your interest in learning our business and our approach of rail and property model in changing the cityscape of Hong Kong. Thank you.